Bonjour à tout le monde. Bienvenue à Beacon Baptist Church. Je suis le pasteur de Beacon Baptist Church, le nouveau pasteur. Mon nom, c'est Alain Bernard. Did you understand that, anybody? No, I'm the new pastor of Beacon Baptist Church. Maintenant, j'ai très soif, donc je vais boire un petit peu d'eau, excuse-moi. I'm very thirsty. Well, it's a pleasure to be here, and just letting you know that Canada est en feu. Canada is on fire right now, and that is exciting what's going on. I am here, but I am there right now, to be honest with you. I have been keeping up and following up with churches and what is going on there. It's a movement, and it's a good movement. It's a wholesome movement. And it's exciting what's going to happen. We need, of course, for the churches there are really under attack. And so we're excited about going back. And that's why we'll probably be staying here another week at least. It's the weather kind of, you know, plays a part in the will of God sometimes. And I at least I'm honest about it, right? Whereas others might not be. So we're excited about being here with you. The church is doing well. We're excited about starting over again. We've been closing, opening. We've tried to stay open, sometimes against the government wishes. But you have to have the people also that are with you, right? So pray for us as we're going to go back and they're requiring that we give the passport vaccine. Anybody that comes to church has to be vaccinated, and we can't do that. So we trust that you'll pray for us, and the Lord is doing some great things. We have other ministries around the world as well that the Lord has opened up in Africa. I'll mention a little bit about that. And so it's exciting. Let's look at together at Philippians 3, 13 and 14. It says here in 3:13, 14, it says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before." Verses 14 is, "I press toward the mark for the price of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." In these short verses here that we see, we have an overview. Really a clear overview how to live life effectively during our stay here on earth. And it seems so simple, and that's why the message is this one thing. It's very simple. Back home, we're noted to be people that are very simple. Our messages are about 10 minutes because the people there at church are so simple. They can only absorb so much. And the only reason that I would go above 10 minutes today is if I hear an amen in the crowd. Amen. I didn't hear any amen. At least give me a few amen because it's supposed to be a little bit more than 10 minutes. I don't know what's going on. I want us to consider from our text these three parts of our lives that we need to appropriate properly. And Paul mentions them. He mentions the past. He mentions the present, and he mentions the future. And note that he considers them as one thing. It's quite simple. These things, this is one thing, the past and present and future. That means to live effectively, we need to personally approach these three parts in our lives together, not separate. Together in the right perspective, putting the right weight on each one of them and the right emphasis that God meant to put on each part of these things in our lives. And to better explain, note what Paul says at the beginning of the verse. He says, "I count not myself to have apprehended." Note how Paul begins here, and this is very important for us to recognize, is "I count not myself to have apprehended." In other words, I don't have a hold of all things when I speak on this subject. I do not seize or possess it all. I am the first to say that I don't have all the knowledge and understanding in Christ. I don't have it all. But yet, there's something that's quite important that you better make sure is important in your lives. I'm not there as yet, he says. In fact, he explains the same thing the verse before, if you notice, in verse 12. Not as though as I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Again, Paul reaffirms here that I'm not there yet, though I don't have it all together, but this one thing I know. There's something that I know, and it's something that is important, and it's this one thing. I know this one thing is important for me to know and for you to know. And Paul, inspired by the Spirit here, by the Lord, though you never will have apprehended all things, understand all things, that's okay. That's just fine, because you're not going to get there until you see Jesus one day. It's all right. You're not going to be held back because of the fact that you don't know it all. But this one thing, you better get right. This one thing, do. Because it's the one thing that got me through life effectively, and it's what's going to get you through life effectively as well. And so let's look at this one thing, these three parts that we need to rightly, correctly, appropriate in each of our life. We see here the past. He says, forgetting those things which are behind. Forgetting means to forget, huh? Neglect or to lose out of mind. We know that forgiving does not necessarily mean forgetting. It's really letting go and letting God, and where the offender or the offense no longer controls our lives. But Paul does say forgetting here. Could it be that Paul is forgetting the past? Well, let me explain a little bit. By a testimony, I'll give you my testimony of my life. When I was saved, I was born again at the age of 21. And my brother, Pierre, was led to Christ by his roommate in med school. And that was in the year of 93. And so my brother was came to speak to me during my time back home when I came back from college. And he kept talking to me about the Lord. And to make a long story short, in 1993, I gave my life to the Lord. And this happened before my last year of going back to University of Northern Iowa, UNI, University of Nothing Impossible. We thought we were the greatest back then. And that year was different than the other years because I was saved. And I was going back to school being a Christian in college. It was completely different at the time, especially for those who knew me on the university tennis team. Last year with them, they didn't know how to take me. We played tennis, and I was smiling at my opponents. There was really a change, because I'm competitive. That's not normal. Even now, I don't do that. I mean, I want to win. No, but I had a different attitude, a different spirit about me, and they noticed it. So I didn't have a church to go to back then, and so what I did is I went to the Catholic Church, which I was used to going to, and I tried to reform the priests. And I brought him videos of conversions of priests and nuns that were converted and gave their life to Christ. Well, he says, we already do that, so that didn't work out well. So I tried to go somewhere else. I went to Campus Crusade for Christ. And so went through all that, and the Lord was doing a work in me, amazingly. All I knew is I was saved, didn't have much teaching, but God was doing a work. And so as the days went, I had less and less, I tell you, desire to pursue a career. And I was going into medical school back then. And, you know, God began changing me. And the hard thing is that my parents and all family members were in the medical field. And coming now to the Lord Jesus Christ, and God is directing my life. I began going to a independent church there, Baptist church. I had just started, and I was just learning. And the Lord began changing my heart. And it was 2 weeks before entering, I changed to dental school at that point, and I got accepted at University of Iowa. And it was 2 weeks before entering, and the Lord just was directing me to go into the ministry. And I said, "Lord, are you sure that's you that's speaking?" And it was evidently him. My heart's desire was changing away from dental school and going into the ministry. So I took a job as a math and biology teacher at the church there that I was attending, and for $192.50, and I worked 60 hours a week. And that was, I figured that out now, but I didn't even think about it. I thought it was marvelous and wonderful, and I still think. And I wouldn't do it any other way, because it was the will of God, and I knew it was clear. And it's been quite a journey. And the scripture tells us in 3, 5, and 6 of Proverbs, "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." My friends, this is true. This is the Bible. When God wants you to do something, don't complicate it. Just say, "God, here I am. I'm right here. You know where I'm at. If you want me somewhere else, if you want me to do something, then stir that heart of mine and keep stirring it and keep stirring it, because I want to do the will of God." And God does that. He does that. He makes it clear, and it was evident. So when God gave me the desire to preach in 1996, be a pastor to preach, I surrendered in 1996, I remember. I was reminded, all that story for this, I was reminded of my past. I went back to the time when I was asked to speak on TV as a tennis player. They brought us in on live TV. Not having any experience in public, it's something else being on TV and being in front of you tonight. But we weren't used to that. And so we went on live TV with three of us. It was the coach and two other players. And the question was, the coach, his name was Pete. "Pete, you had a great season? Are you planning on having a great season?" He says, "Yes." Oh, I was like, oh my. That was a quick answer. "Alan, your brother was at college and 4 years before, great player, and you are now here." I said, "Yes." And I said, "And?" And they were waiting for an answer. I didn't know what else to say. It was, and after it seems like hours, I said, I forgot what I was going to say. So I get back to my dorm at college, and guess what? I pick up the answering machine. "Hey, Alan, I forgot what I was going to say." "Hey, on campus. Hey, Alan, I forgot what I was going to say." You see, the past can really do a number. So God now is calling me to preach, and that came to my mind, and it did somewhat of a number to second guess if it was really possible for me to do that. You see, that's life. Instead of allowing the past to dictate the future, God's goodness gave me the opportunities of the now. See, it's a new life. It's a new start, Alan. You can start right now. The more I took those steps, instead of being concerned yet about the past, but the more I took those steps, one step after another step, it was like, wow, by the grace of God, I can do this. The more I welcomed and accepted the moments of life that was before me, though they were good or not good, the memory of the past slowly fade away. Slowly fade away, losing out of my mind, where it no longer has an impact
or an effect on me.
So when Paul does say forgetting, could it be that Paul is forgetting the past by focusing and giving himself over to the moment right now that is before him? And that past is just fading away. It's not having its impact, its effect that it used to. Perhaps today you're still finding yourself parking in the past. And Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind. Forgetting the past. You're not supposed to park in the past. You're not supposed to stay there for a while. And it's amazing how people will go back to the past and just park there and stay there. Perhaps you're still finding yourself parking, waiting and hoping for a special healing. Waiting and hoping for certain things to fall in their place before you advance. Waiting for something or someone to change before you go forward. Waiting and hoping for someone to ask for forgiveness. Parking in the past. And Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind. We're not supposed to stay there. And all the time you're parking in the past, you are disengaged. And that's the important thing to realize. As much as we are parked in the past, we are disengaged with the now and the opportunities of now, and we're missing out on life right now. And not only you're missing out, but your family's missing out, your spouse, your children, and your church is missing out. Nobody's winning in this thing. There's nothing good about staying and being in the past and living in the past. My close friend and brother in the Lord, his name is Averti. He's from Congo, Africa. Now he's living in Quebec. He walked through the doors of our church. You never know who walks through the doors of your church, by the way. That's amazing how God has used him. But a few years ago, he got a back injury, and that back injury, he did everything to try to heal that. He was covered by his employer, and for over a year and a half, close to 2 years, he went to the chiros, and he went to doctors and physio and all that. And that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. It's just, it was his whole life was around that, and he knew it. And he felt like he really needed to get this healed in order to move forward. You know what I mean? This had not happened. It became the focus, and it was difficult for him. It was always on his mind. And to this day, his back is not healed. But a change has taken place. A change has taken place. Instead of making the highlight, hoping and waiting for a healing in order to move forward, instead of making that the pivot point of his life, only if I get healed, it changed. He came to the realization that through God's word, that God has him where he wants him. And that's wonderful. It's wonderful. And his grace is sufficient. And that really just jumped at him. For when I am weak, he is strong. When he saw those verses as a new Christian, he was like, wow. And I didn't have to tell him. He says, that's me. That's me. And it opened up a whole new world to him to really understand. He pivoted to be more engaged with the now, living in the moment, serving the Lord. And you know what? The more he's engaged, I don't hear anything about his back. It's amazing. And I'm sure it has its way, but the Lord is good. And I don't know. But I do know that he's had a change. And just to let you know, during the time that he's not been able to work because of his back, he's been able to head a ministry of 160 students in the Congo. That's our church ministry that we have, 160 students, that we follow him all the way from grade school to university, and the Lord has allowed us to have a ministry there too of teaching them the Word of God. We want to start a Bible Institute shortly. We have a building facility. He's organizing all this. He's the one setting up with a team of 18 volunteers that are good people that we work with and talk on a regular basis. And he just started got us in a radio station recently. And he told me, he says, boy, this preaching stuff is a lot of work. He's the one that's doing a Bible story. And he's bringing voices, you know, from movies into it. It's really well done. Just wholesome. And the people are just wanting more to, there's a government official that say, can you rerun that? He did the story of Esther. It was so powerful. He brings up his point. And the government that's communist, right, controlling people. And we had then we have another time where I preach, and what he does is take one of my messages and he condenses it. And it's really good condensed. My messages are much better condensed to where they're like 10 minutes. I couldn't believe it. That's much better. But anyway, we have 10 minutes, and they told us the radio station. And we had 17 minutes. The guy says, you know what? That 17 minutes is too long. He says, okay, could you just listen to the message? And you listen to it. He says, okay, the 17 minutes is good. God's good, amen. Opening up doors left and right. Just saying. When we live in the now, there's some great things that's going to happen. God's in charge. God's in control. Amen. Talk about opportunities that open up when we cut the umbilical cord of our past. God, you got me where you want me. And I'm here, and I'm listening. I'm all ears. Do what you want to do. Friend, that is liberating. You know what? It's a great place to be as a Christian. Lord, do what you want my day. I've got my day planned. And oftentimes, you know what the Lord does? He just puts somebody there and somebody here, and opportunities here and there. Just be on the lookout. They're coming. And it's wonderful. When Paul said, forgetting what is behind me, it's not just about moving on. You know what I mean? Not just about moving on, but understanding the power of God's forgiveness. And Paul did. That's why he was able to move on and to forget about his past, because he understood God's forgiveness, and it really got a hold of him. That's why you just see him fly away, literally. You don't see his past holding him back. And if someone should have had a past that would have held him back, it would have been the Apostle Paul. We are held back by this. And I'm not minimizing our lives. Please don't misunderstand. But we need to understand God's forgiveness and the power of it. How we can be free and move on. The Bible tells us, Paul said in Ephesians 4:31, 32, he said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Verse 32, here it is. And be kind one to another, tender heart, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. It's a real thing, forgiveness. And it's powerful, and it's immense, and it's big. It's great. It's freeing. And Paul lived it, and it was real to him. I don't even know where I'm at with all this. It's wonderful. The Lord, through Paul, is showing us forgetting our past, moving away from our past, is done by reaching forth and clinging to what is before us. That's the key. We can keep looking here, but we can just cling to what is before us. And this is where Paul puts the emphasis, if you notice. He doesn't spend much time. He just says, forget about the past. There's a learning process of the past, of course. But reach forth, live in the now to what is before you. Clinging to God's truth about forgiveness, clinging to God's truth about our real identity, who we are in Christ is real.
We have to treat our past the way God meant our past to be treated. Simply, this way, understand His forgiveness and move on. God didn't mean our past, whether blessings or the lacks or the hurts and the challenges of our past. He didn't mean that to keep us captive, to limit us, but rather the past should be a springboard for God to use the experience of our past, whether they're good or bad, for what? For His glory. And that's where we miss it. God wants to take that past. You say, Pastor, I've got all this. Let God do the work, would you? It's not you, it's Him. He knew all about that. He's going to take all that. And you want Him to take all that for His honor and for His glory. How are you going to do that? You forget the past and cling to what is now before you. And God will bring glory. Let Him do it. Where we are now in life is largely due to how we personally apply the past in our life, how we view the past. And friends, the past is meant to learn from, not to live and relive and to keep us back. The past does not define at all who you are. Christ completely defines who you are. So we have the first part of the past. Second part is the present, and it's quicker, this one. Depends. The present. He says here, reaching forth unto those things which are before. Notice the emphasis of the one thing here. Though the past is a part, it's a part that's meant to move away from and reach out to what is before you. And Paul places most of the emphasis on reaching out to the now. That's where the emphasis is at. The things that are before us. And note that during this now moment, he lived under constant persecution. It was not a great now moment to say, hey, I just want to grab what's in front of me. But he knew that was the only way that as Christians we live our lives effectively, is to grab on to what is before us. Not to try to dodge it, not to try to avoid it and run away from it, but welcome it and go right in front of it and say, you know what, God, you have that for me. And I'm going to handle by thy grace the way you want me to handle the situation. I want to honor you. And that's what he did with his now movement. Not an easy one. Not knowing what the people of his past would do to him, he still clinged on. Where he would end up tomorrow. And did he live and worse, run from reality or quit or hide from the situation? Not at all. By the grace of God, he reached out to this one thing and seized the opportunities God has for him now. And you know, in 1 Corinthians 15, 9 and 10, the scripture tells us, for I am the least of the apostles, am not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. Verse 10, by the grace of God, I am what I am. This is what Paul says. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labor more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. I love this verse because it has so much guts to it. So powerful. I am what I am by the grace of God. And all that you see me do is by the grace of God. And that's the reality that Christians need to get placed. It's not us doing it. It's Him. He recognizes here where He came from. I know I'm the least of them all. But through God's grace, that's what makes all the difference. Because of His grace, I can do this one thing. I can seize the opportunity of today, labor hard, I do it by His grace, and seize the moment. Just like Paul, we have to trust that the grace of God is really, really sufficient. And it is. It's really sufficient for us. It's there in time of need. We have access to it. And if you're going to live life effectively, we need to understand it's not us doing it. It's not us doing it. You know why we have so much problem with the past? Because we feel like it's us doing it. And our flesh is not able to deal with some of that. And it's time that we say bye-bye and handle some of these things in the past. The people of our past, that's keeping us from being the testimony that the Lord has called us to be.
Say, Pastor, I really can't do that. Forgive them or change this, move on.
I really can't make the impact that I know that I ought to. And you know what? I just want to tell you, you're right. You can't do it. Just get it. You can't. And I can't do it. That's what we need to be. That's the place we need to be. We can't do it. It's not us that can do that. But the grace of God through us can, my friend. And that's what our dependence needs to be. It's God doing it through us. And it's wonderful because what God does, He does well. This is where life becomes an adventure filled with challenges and opportunities, and your testimony lights up for the glory of God. How do you get that grace? Well, the Bible tells you how to get that grace. It's so simple that we miss it. We just humble ourselves, right? We just humble ourselves. God, I need your grace to grab on to what is in front of me and to let go of that past. Humble yourself. It's when you say, I can't do it, I'm the least. But you don't stay there, by the way. A lot of people say, oh, I can't do it, Pastor. I'm the least, I'm the worst, I'm terrible, I've done all the worst things. But okay, all right, but don't stay there, please.
Understand the difference when God is involved, because He can. And by His grace, I'm going to go through that door. And I'm going to be what the Lord wants to be, me to be. And tomorrow, by His grace, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go through that door. Because those opportunities of reaching out is every single day of our lives, friend. Every single day. Welcome them. They're there. You know, we've had many immigrants that came relocating in our area in the last couple years, and many of them are soccer players. So the Bible says that we need to become all things to all men. So I decided to become a soccer player, and I've got videos if you want to see them. But you know, I became a goalie because I couldn't keep up with the rest of the stuff, but I was giving my body as a living sacrifice. I've taken balls to the face and everywhere, and I wanted to try to be the best goalie they've ever seen. So I just go in front of people and I charge, and I try to be a good testimony through all that. But anyway, I had the opportunities earlier on when I first met them. I would go to the field, and I begged them to let me play on their team, and they did, and now they're glad. But anyway, I'm kidding. I say more than it's true. But I told him, I said, and you got to understand, ministry-minded, right? We're ministry-minded, we want to help people. So I said to them, I said, all right, after a major match, I said, everybody line up, and I said, I want you to line up and try to score on me. And I told him, nobody can score on me. That's what I told him. And I was concerned. So they took one shot at a time, and I made the saves. So then I said to them, nobody scored. And I said, if you guys can score, I'll take you all for an ice cream, okay? All for an ice cream at this nice ice cream place. And so they tried, and they were good players, but the more they tried, the worse it was getting. So I said, if you miss it, then I'll take you ice cream. So they had to think that through. I mean, if we miss it, he'll take us ice cream. So they all start hitting the ball everywhere. Make a long story short, just to let you know, God is good. And, you know, there's a dozen people coming to our church because of these events that we do. Just simply just saying, you know, God, I'm nothing, but you're everything. What can we do to show that we love people and we want to serve them? And the door has been wide open and keeps being wide open. I'm saying it's God's grace because I don't want to do that stuff. I don't. But God's work in us gets us to live in the moment and look for opportunities in the moment to reach out to others and bring others to Him. It's wonderful what God does. God is real. And when we choose to give ourselves to the present moment and reach out by the grace of God, we'll make an impact with our family, our work, our church. As I finish here, I share with you my testimony of my family. And it wasn't easy during that time because the family was not excited about me changing profession, right? And I can understand completely how they felt. But you know, it was like, then 15, 20 years later, one after another came to know Christ as their Savior. And it was an amazing journey of prayer and seeking God. And they're serving the Lord now. And it's exciting to see. And I would say that if somebody would ask me who would be the hardest people, I would say it's impossible for my family. So if you've got that in the back of your mind, you need to pray. And here's the thing that I did too that was helpful. I felt like I needed to be the one that go, and everybody was spread out, right? I need to be the one that leads them to the Lord, right? And teaches them and shows them the way of truth. And you know what? I got to the place where I said, God, you got people everywhere around this world. Use somebody else. You don't need me. And if you want to use me, that's great. And you know what? You begin to plant people in their lives, around their lives. And it's amazing what God does, and what God does is a real thing. So the third part here, as we finish here, this is really quick, by the way, and I exceeded my 10 minutes, I think. I'm not sure. Future. The third part here, we need to rightly appropriate, is a future. I press towards the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now listen, now, knowing what lies ahead, that what we are doing day after day, offering ourselves to whatever God has for each one of us in the now, knowing the prize and the destination that is before us, makes all the difference. Our labor is not in vain. I'm not sure if you're thinking that your efforts at time, is it really to any avail? I don't think about it twice. Whether it's giving or sharing, giving ourselves and time to people that don't seem to show any interest, that's in God's department. My job is just to give myself to the now. And God does all the results, amen? And it's wonderful to see God do his work. I'm more excited than ever to invest my life in God's work. And the best way to do that is to forget the past. And by the way, moving away from the past and grabbing on, reaching forth for what is before, and do that daily. Daily, those opportunities that God gives us are right there for us. And friend, what lies ahead for us is that prize, amen? It's all for Him. It's all for His glory. And what a privilege to be a part of it. It's wonderful. And by the way, don't get lost in the future. Focus on the now. I hear people so concerned about the future. I know. There's a lot of things going on. Oh, yes, there's times that we talk about, and that's fine. But don't get lost to the point where you miss out on the now. On the now. I've got people that are telling me, because we're investing in different ministries, aren't you concerned what's going to happen? Aren't you concerned about the government, what they're going to do when they find out? No, I'm not. Whatever comes, comes. But we keep on. And it's wonderful. As we close, note that the times Paul mentioned in the past was to honor and glorify the Lord. That was the reason. Not to focus on the shame and the guilt. Not to live there. I should have. Oh. But to honor. Because you see, it's all forgiven under the blood of Jesus Christ. You're free. You are free under the blood of Christ. Is that real to you today? Are you dealing with your past the way God meant it to be dealt with? To honor and to glorify Him? Or do you find yourself parked over there a bit too much? Struggling to advance. It's time to reach forward by the grace of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, your truth. Lord, we ask you to take these few minutes and just to respond to you, what you've put in our hearts. Thank you for your working in us. It's by thy grace and thy grace only. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.